massive action is being obsessed. It's being absolutely no days off, 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, obsessed.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and with me is Allison Kirschbaum. Allison, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you, Todd?
I am awesome. So good. Allison is a success obsessive with 16 years of sales, marketing, and business expertise, and you're 25. So yes. We'll have to explain that. But Allison is a master of capital raising for new investors and rapidly scaling a real estate businesses. Allison's also the CEO of Luo. Is that how you say it?
Very good. Yes.
Luo Media Group, providing targeted marketing services for real estate, private equity firms, and making real estate investors into industry dominating thought leaders. So with that, can you tell our audience a little bit more about who you are and how do you have 16 years of experience at 25?
It seems like a paradox, right?
Yeah.
So it's actually summed up in that phrase, success obsessive. I have been a business owner since I was 9. That's when I started my first services business. I started my first products business when I was 12. And from the age of 9, I was just a natural salesperson. I would go around my neighborhood and put flyers on people's doors or wave down their cars as they went down the street, handing out flyers, looking for more business for my pet sitting business, which is what I started when I was 9. When I was 12, I started my first products business, selling handmade stuff around the neighborhood and to salons that would sell my jewelry and my handmade things on consignment. And I taught myself how to cold call, how to do direct mail, and how to sell to small groups between the ages of 12 and 15. And so if you do the math on that, between age 9 and age 25, I say that I have 16 years of experience. And ever since the age of 9, I have been obsessed with success. My dad used to read me books like Who Moved My Cheese and Robert Kiyosaki's Cashflow Quadrant and How to Win Friends and Influence People from the age of 7. When we did nightly story time with my dad, it wasn't, you know, if you give a mouse a cookie or any of those children's books. My mom did that when we were younger, but when you hit the age of 7 in my household, dad was like, no, you got to listen to business books at night. So that's what he did with me. We read business books together every night. And eventually my parents started paying my brothers and I to read good books. They'd pay us $5 a book to read the book and do a book report. And that's what got me in the habit of reading ferociously. And that success obsession was just fueled starting from that early age.
Wow. That's pretty intensive and good for your Good for your dad for doing that, by the way. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I've got an 8-year-old and I keep on thinking, man, when is it time to introduce some of those books to her?
Right now, Todd.
Apparently right now.
Do it right now.
I got to do it now. You know, influence her early. So that's tell me right. A little bit more then. So what do you got going on today then?
What I'm doing today is just like every other day, I'm creating content, creating podcasts and videos, not only for me, but for my clients at Lua Media. We specialize in, as you said at the beginning of the podcast, targeted marketing for real estate private equity firms, for 506C offerings specifically, because most people, especially in the real estate private equity space, don't understand the power of the types of media they can use when they're looking for investors when you use a 506C. So we step in to fill that gap, provide marketing services for them. And I also work with thought leaders in the real estate space to help them get their message and their brand out to the world. So I'm working with my team to create content for them. I'm working on the release of a book all about how to raise a young entrepreneur. So it sounds like that might be something that we have a need for right here on the podcast.
Yeah, perfect.
Yep. So just another busy Monday.
Cool. So explain more then about the 506C business. For those who don't know 506C, explain what it is, and then what your business is kind of doing.
So a 506C is the newest type of Regulation D SEC exempt private equity offering, which is basically a fancy way of saying that it's the only type of private equity offering at this point that is accessible to a smaller investor just starting out. Maybe it's their first private equity fund, something like that. They want to raise more capital than they've raised before. They want to start a private equity fund. The 506C is the most accessible way to do that and still get the ability to do what we call mass advertising. So with other types of private equity funds, like a 506B, something like that, that has a fairly low cost to entry, similar to the 506C, you can't use mass advertising of any kind. You're only allowed to go with investors you know personally. So you're limited to the people that are already in your inner circle or that are connected to your inner circle. But with a 506C, I like to joke to people, if billboards were still a thing, we could advertise our 506C on a billboard on the side of the highway. Like, you can literally use almost any type of marketing method you can think of, as long as you only end up accepting accredited investors into the fund. That's the kicker. You can only use accredited investors with a 506C. However, with a 506C, that means that you're not just limited to the people that you already know. You can use social media marketing. You can use Facebook ads. You can use an email list. You can drive traffic from your blog or a webinar or a podcast or anywhere you want to drive traffic from, as long as you only end up accepting accredited investors into the fund at the end. So it's a very, very powerful means of getting the word out to more people than was ever seen in private equity before.
Cool. What are the industries that you're serving? Are there multiple industries? Is it mainly real estate?
It is mainly real estate. My specialty is real estate. I know real estate the best. I am potentially going to be working with a gentleman who wants to raise capital for a trendy dinner and a show kind of restaurant in San Francisco. We're potentially going to be working with a biotech sort of company for a testing the waters kind of fund, but in general, just real estate in terms of the private equity fund marketing.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Is there anything more you want to tell me about what you got going on? Because I know you got a ton of stuff going on. So is there anything more you want to tell the audience about what you're doing and get to know you? Or is that good?
I'm going to let you steer a little bit here, Todd. I don't want to make this just one big commercial.
Oh, cool. Well, towards the end, I know you've got a podcast, so we'll talk about that a little bit and how people can get to that. So, so you've been running a business, obviously, since 9, which is awesome.
Yes.
A lot of people don't jump into it until they're, you know, 29, 39, or 49, or maybe even older. So,
or even never,
right? But for those who want to, give us advice about how do you successfully operate a business, and just a short answer on that.
Okay, I have three main tips for somebody who wants to start a business. Number one, don't worry about what you want to do. Worry about what your market wants from you. Because you can have the greatest idea in the world. You can be completely passionate about it. But if your market doesn't want it or need it, you're going to go belly up with an idea that you love. Number two, get your systems in place from the very day you start that business, because you will want them later. And number three, realize that you're going to have a lot of transitions to make in terms of mindset and the way your day is run from the way you're working your day job right now and the way you're going to end up working your business when you switch over to full time.
Yeah, great. Three great steps, obviously. I love the first one because that's what so many people think that they could just, they think about what they want, what's going to make them quote unquote happy.
Yes,
and what they have passion about. But just because you're passionate about something doesn't mean, you know, millions of other people are passionate about the same thing. So you got to find out
exactly
who's passionate about what. So I love that first one a lot. What's your biggest mistake then through the years, and how have you learned from that? How have you grown?
My biggest mistake, I think, was actually one that I made while I was working my first real job. I was 19. I took a break from being a business owner to get a quote real job, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're 18 or 19, right? And I was a sales manager for a large currency exchange brand in Texas and had a lot of employees under me. And I had a lot of ivory tower leadership theories from reading all of those books as a young person and not having a lot of actual leadership experience. And I somehow worked myself into this state of thinking that I was a terrible leader and I was hurting my employees' psyches or something like that. Again, ivory tower theories are the worst kind of theories because they will mess up with your head. We had great success in terms of sales and in terms of us as a sales team, but the discouragement that I felt because of the gap between what I thought leadership should look like and how I thought I should behave and how my team should react toward me as a leader and the respect I thought I should be getting based on, based on those ivory tower theories, was just, it created a huge amount of disappointment in me. And I ended up leaving that job after a couple of years, even though we'd been really successful there. Just because I still felt internally like I was failing. And, you know, you get older and life moves on. And I finally realized, you know what? I did a pretty good job. So I think my biggest mistake was sticking too hard to those ivory tower theories and not realizing that research is not everything.
So you were stuck with a certain kind of expectation and
not really seeing
what was going on. You're kind of just blindfolded.
I was expecting employees to do things like show up on time and take initiative and take orders from me just because I was their manager, and just things that I thought should have been basic based on my own paradigm. But yeah, I had no way of knowing whether that was realistic or not, and I just stuck to it too rigidly.
So if you were to go back and let's say you're either the employee again, or maybe you're the business owner in that same type of situation, how do you position yourself in a different way? A, your mindset, and B, how do you position yourself to those people in a different way to be successful?
I would have done one mindset thing and one just in general positional kind of thing. Number one, mindset. I would not have cared so much what people thought about me, because people don't actually think about you as much as you think they do. They're thinking about themselves. And number two, I wouldn't have been a manager at all. I simply don't really like managing people. And I think past experiences have shown that I'm just not great at it. I'm better as an entrepreneur and just kind of letting somebody else take the manager role.
And that's an important point for people that want to be business owners or are business owners and struggle. You got the visionary, and then you've also got that manager, the task manager and stuff like that. And if you're the visionary and you're doing both, or vice versa, if you're the task manager, you're the manager and you're trying to be the visionary, a lot of times you're going to struggle. So,
yes.
Well, cool. That's awesome. We talked about your dad and he was a essential person of being where you're at. Obviously, anybody else that has been, you know, kind of there for you or mentor you or anything to help you along the way?
Absolutely. There have been so many digital mentors, as I call them, that have inspired me and helped me along through books and CDs, Grant Cardone and John Lee Dumas and John Maxwell and many, many other names that I'm sure your readers all know and love. My mom and my dad both played a huge role in me being able to be an entrepreneur from such a young age. My mom homeschooled me and my two younger brothers, and I was actually homeschooled kindergarten through high school. I never went to public school a single day in my life. And just the bravery that it took and the amount of planning that it took, you know, as I get older and as I see as an adult what their choices entailed, how much work they had to go through to make that happen for all of us. The fact that my dad had to carry the weight of our entire family financially. There couldn't be two incomes in our household. That wasn't even an option. The sheer amount of time my mom spent homeschooling us. My mom and my dad both played a huge role. Just more recently, my mentor, Trevor McGregor, has kind of stepped in to fill the role of helping me shape some of the decisions I'm making and take a direction that's going to get me where I want to go faster. So aside from all my digital mentors, my mom, my dad, and Trevor.
Awesome. Yes. Just the importance of having those people around you.
Absolutely. Well, and we talk, I'm sure you've talked to on the podcast before, you talk with your inner circle about your circle of five, right? The five people that you become the average of eventually. I think most people don't get that those people can be digital mentors, as I like to call them. They can mentor you through books or through audio tapes. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to know five millionaires or five billionaires personally in real life. Cause I mean, come on, if you know five billionaires in real life, what are you doing listening, sitting around listening to podcasts? Go work with the billionaires and go change the world. Right. But, you can spend time with digital mentors instead of spending time with your lower level, so to speak, friends, that maybe aren't going where you want to go or their ambitions stop at a lower level than yours do. So I think that's important for people to understand. Your circle of five doesn't have to be physical people that can sit across the dinner table from you.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. I mean, when I ask about mentors, I mean, a lot of people will mention just authors, quite frankly. And it's like,
oh, really?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you read a lot of a certain type of author or honestly, just a podcaster could be your mentor. You mentioned like JLD and if you're Grant Cardone, if you're listening to them and hearing them all the time, I mean, they're influencing you and they're going to be the ones driving your thought process or helping you with your thought process. So
absolutely.
Definitely. So what's the kind of, where's your vision? Where are you going with your business and what are you trying to do?
What's the overall vision?
Yeah.
Quite simple. I used to tell people I wanted to be the world's youngest self-made female billionaire, but now it looks like Kylie Jenner is going to take that trophy before me at 24, and there's no way I can turn back the clock on that. So I've been telling people that I want to be the world's first trillionaire, and I'll tell you why that is. Millennials especially, I think, have seen an age in the country where there is no financial stability. They were brought up to believe that 401ks and pensions and companies and governments would be there for them long-term. And then came the crash of 08. And then came the fact that, hey, Social Security may not be there for you anymore. And in that way, I am a product of my generation. I don't believe that there is any financial source or power that is going to take care of you for the long term. And not just you, but your parents. Eventually, you'll have to take care of your parents as well. And Social Security may not be there for them the way you think it will be. Medicare could end up being tapped out before my parents reach the age where they need it. If you have siblings or friends or children who are struggling, you have to figure out a way to take care of them yourself. And I've decided about two and a half years ago, I finally coalesced this vision when I started listening to Grant Cardone. I decided that I wanted to create the kind of indestructible wealth that Grant Cardone talks about, the kind of wealth that no car crash, no cancer, no downturn, no politician can take away. And as time moves on and the digits for people's fortunes get bigger and inflation keeps going on, the number needs to get higher and higher in order to make a true difference. So in order to create that legacy of stability and wealth far into the future, I think it needs to be at least several billion, if not maybe a trillion at this point.
That's some lofty goals.
I've got a long time to figure it out too. I've got a long time to make it work.
That's true. You hit on something I kind of like to talk about, and that's the millennial mindset. And, you know, people, especially that are your age, that are 25 and maybe up to about 30, they were pretty young when this whole crash and all that kind of stuff happened. I mean, I technically maybe am a millennial or like right on that edge, but I was an adult and I was in, beyond college when that happened. But for those who were in high school or even younger and got to see all that stuff, you know, what's that mind shift? What are maybe the people that you grew up with or around you, and what do they think about? And you know, is it similar to you, or is it the 401k is still real and the Social Security is going to still be there and all that kind of stuff?
That is a good question, Todd. And
that's, you might not know.
that's a tough question because, like attracts like, right? So number one, I just don't have that many friends who think differently than I do. Number two, I think that millennials overall believe that Social Security will go away and Medicare will go away, but they want to replace it with an even broader form of social upholding. I don't know exactly what you would call it. There's a statistic that came out, I believe it was from Bloomberg, about 6 months ago, that said that 50% of millennials, based on their survey, believed that we would be better off in a socialist or communist government, which are essentially just bigger, broader forms of Medicaid and Social Security all rolled up in one. So I think that millennials, based on some factor of the political landscape or something, have gone completely the other way. They're not thinking, hey, it's not going to be there for me, so I need to be independent, even with all the opportunity that we have in our generation because of the internet and the other advantages that we have to create wealth that wouldn't make a socialist government necessary. Somehow, they've completely flipped their thinking and said, hey, let's go completely the other way and let's be even more dependent. So I really don't know, Todd.
That's interesting. That mindset is very interesting to me. I like, obviously, where you took your mind and said, you know, this stuff's not going to be here for me. We're going to figure it out. And you're
get her done.
Yeah, you're doing it, and you're creating businesses and you know, creating positive things. And then that other mind shift of, well, you know, this Social Security and Medicaid and all that kind of stuff, it's broken, but let's just make it, you know, let's create a new one and make it bigger and
let's just blow it up. Let's just make it way more comprehensive than anything we've ever seen.
So, all right, well, we'll shift back out of that topic.
that's a good question. Let's revisit that in like 6 months or a year. We'll see.
Right. Well, it's an interesting time because you've got a large portion of the population that are millennials. Obviously we know that what they're driving the real estate, as far as the rentals and where's that shifting. They're going to be driving the economy, you know, so they're the millennial generation, whether a lot of the old people are always negative to the future generations, but it is what it is. And they're going to be driving the political economy or politics, the economy, all that kind of stuff. So, so what are three factors to your success?
Massive action.
Okay.
Reading 100 books a year and wanting it bad enough. I think most of them are self-explanatory, but we can dive into those if you want.
Let's dive into massive action. What do you do to take massive action?
Well, I think massive action is very misunderstood. I think people don't realize how massive action is. They think, and maybe you have some better insight on this than I do, Todd, because you do even more interviews than I do. But do you think people consider massive action to be a commitment to, I don't know, a couple hours a week after work, or time on the weekends, they're like, hey, if I've set aside time to do this on a consistent basis, that's massive action. Do you think that's probably a common thread?
It depends on who you're talking to. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yes. I think that people that are truly, most of the people that I'm interviewing, I would say, no, that's not, but
no. Okay.
There's definitely people that think that way.
Okay. So I think your interviews, the people that come on your show and that you interact with are probably on the top side of that line.
They're trying to achieve.
Yeah. So your guests get it. Your guests understand it. But a lot of people, you're right. A lot of people don't get it. Massive action is, if there's any Grant Cardone listeners out there, you will understand this. Massive action is being obsessed. It's being absolutely no days off, 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, obsessed. And I'm talking about being the kind of person that I've always been this way. Even when I had a job, I had vacation days. I never used vacation days. I always used them to go to conferences. If I didn't have a job where I could work 12 or 16 hours a day to be more successful at what I was doing, I wasn't happy. There's a certain type of mindset that I was very fortunate to get early on that goes with massive action. When I say I read 100 books a year, I absolutely do. I go to one social event a month, and that's it. And I use my weekends to read and study and keep up on my industry and schedule tasks for my team for the next week. I read two to four books every single weekend. My entire Saturday afternoon and all day Sunday is about keeping up on my industry, strategizing, writing processes, reading, studying. Massive action is 25/8. It's no days off. It's no vacation days. And we're not talking about forcing yourself to do this either. You might have to initially if your vision isn't very strong, but eventually you will not be able to relax that vision to the point where you can just go run off and take a week-long vacation. You will want to keep that massive action going.
Cool. So what if you don't want that?
If you don't want to have to put in the massive action.
Yeah.
Well, that, I guess that goes to my third point, is wanting it bad enough, because most people just don't want it bad enough and they don't realize they don't want it bad enough. They say things like, I want to be successful, or I want to have this career. I want to be a CEO. I want to make X amount of money. I want to live here. I want to do this. I want to do that. They don't really want it. And they don't understand that they don't want it. They think because they say they want it, or they think about it, or they like posts on Facebook of fast cars and whatever it is, that they actually want something. They don't. Until you're willing to take that massive action to do what it is that you say you want, you don't really want it. And you know what? That's okay. If you don't really want it bad enough to do whatever it takes, like Tony Robbins says, WIT, whatever it takes to get it, that's fine. But admit it. Don't say you really want it when you actually don't.
Yeah. I hear it all the time. Like, how do you find time to do all that? I don't have the time to do it. And it's just an excuse. You know, people, it's your priority. Honestly. I mean, everybody has the same amount of time. You don't have a 25-hour day. You don't have 8 days a week.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe you think you do. No.
But, I pretend I do.
You pretend you do. But yeah. But honestly, I mean, there's so many people though, when they get home, they're exhausted. So they throw down and they watch the news or they do whatever. And they don't understand that, well, that's time you could have used to do what you're so-called passionate about.
Exactly.
Truly trying to make that change and that effect. Like, I gave up TV years ago.
Same here, man.
Yeah. And TV's not going to be, it's just a distraction. So, I mean, you have to figure out what's distracting you in your goals in your life. And if you're not willing to give it up, well, then you're not willing to create what you think you want to create.
Absolutely.
Stop pretending. Just admit it.
That's right. That's so right. If you want it bad enough, you will find the time. If it doesn't even have to be when you get home. What if instead of driving your own car, you take the train back home so that you can spend some time working? You know, you're sitting on the train. You don't have to drive. I have a car. I take the train wherever I can because I like to work. I don't like driving because it cuts so much time out of my day to go 45 minutes where I need to go from where I have my office. If you're really passionate, you'll listen to podcasts all the time. You'll listen to audiobooks. You can listen to an audiobook while you're cooking, cleaning, at the gym, getting ready in the morning, in the shower. I can vouch for this. I do this all the time. I listen to 50 audiobooks a year on top of, I'd say it's probably a dozen podcasts, because I've always got something in my ear. I'm sure you do too, Todd. Like, you've already cut out the biggest time waster in life, which is TV. And it's just a matter of finding where else you can slot in the important stuff.
Yep. Well, and anytime I drive, the second I start driving, there's a podcast or an audio book that's playing.
Absolutely.
That's just how it is. I don't really listen to the radio either. I love music, but you know, I just don't spend the time listening to music either. I typically am on a podcast.
Yep. So, absolutely.
Yeah. I love that topic, because I think so many people, you know, think they don't have the time, and that's, to me, just an excuse. So I love that topic, and I love being able to talk to somebody who believes the same way, is that, like,
look, absolutely,
you have the time. You need to make the priority.
That's right.
I heard it today. It was a podcast I was listening to. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Tim Ferriss, actually.
Oh, yes.
Debbie Millman was on his podcast. I believe it was her that said that, is people always talk about being so busy. You're always so busy. You're always so busy. You're so busy. And she said, Nobody's that busy. If you're not doing the things you want to do, if you're making an excuse, I'm too busy to, you know, to start a business, I'm too busy to, you know, interview for a new job, I'm too busy to whatever it is, then that's not your priority. It's not that you're too busy. It's not important to you. It's not your priority, whatever it is. She's talking about, I'm too busy to, you know, spend time with my husband or with my wife, or, you know, whatever it is. And she's like, it's not a priority to you. And that's just how it is. So
that's right.
Well, cool. Couple more questions before we wrap up. First of all, what's a daily habit that you do that you think sets you up for success?
I have a very specific mindset routine that I do twice a day. And sometimes in the middle of the day, if I've had a setback or something's not going well, I smash three things together, and they take me probably 20, 25 minutes, depends how long I meditate for. I write down my goals first thing every morning and last thing every night. Again, Grant Cardone, if there's any Grant Cardone listeners, you'll recognize that. I write down all my goals, the big, crazy, might never happen in my lifetime, but this is what I'm shooting for kind of goals. And then I do visualization. I have a specific song that I play. It's like 4 minutes. And I visualize. This is a Tony Robbins thing. Tony Robbins fans will understand this. I visualize what it's going to feel like to hit those big, important goals to me. And I get myself into that mental state of expecting to be able to reach those goals. And then I finish that with at least 10 minutes of meditation, because I need those 10 minutes to quiet my busy brain and get it to focus into what I really need to do. And that makes me so much more productive for at least the next couple of hours. And sometimes I need to repeat in the middle of the day, sneak in a little meditation, but it's so helpful.
Cool. So I think I met you, or I know I met you at a conference, but I think at that conference, you mentioned that you use virtual assistants. Is that right?
I do. I use a lot of them.
So how many virtual assistants do you have, and how do you use them effectively?
It's changing quite a lot lately, because we've been adding probably one new writer for every three new clients. We've been adding a lot of clients to Luo lately. So I think between all my businesses, we're up to 21 VAs right now, I think. I'll have to see if that last person accepted our job invite, but I use them for basically everything. If you're familiar with Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I use them for everything in the urgent quadrant, unless it's urgent and important. Yep. There you go. There you go. I thought you would. So, the urgent important quadrant, I do what's urgent and important, but I try and make it so that I only have to do the important, because the important is the high level work that some people quantify it as being $200 an hour or above level work, the leadership, the creativity kind of roles. And I have systems in place where they do everything else. They handle accounts receivable, accounts payable. They don't file my taxes, but they do the bookkeeping. I have an accountant that I pay, or a bookkeeper that I pay $3 an hour, and he is amazing, and he reconciles every single day for me. I have VAs to do content scheduling, to do webinar chat facilitation, to do customer service, to do lead generation, lead conversion. Pretty much anything you can think of that's not content creation or networking or important sales pitches to clients, my VAs will do.
So, well, we're going to have to talk more about this VA thing.
Yes.
Because I think that's really important for people to be able to figure out what they should be doing versus, you know, and what's going to actually be able to create that profit center in their business and continue to grow their business. It's so easy to get caught up in the day to day, and it sounds like if what I'm listening to with you is that you've kind of figured it out, and I'm sure you have. You know, some instances where that day-to-day grind is still happening, but you've got these VAs that are, you know, doing so much work for you. You've maybe mastered it, or beginning to master it at least, or on your way to it. So
beginning to, yeah. It's an ever-evolving thing, but I think we have, I like to say, if we have things 80% under control, if they can handle 80% of everything that needs to get done in the specific thing, then we're on a good track. So I think we're at that 80% right now.
So how do you do something like that with a VA? Because they're virtual assistants, so they're not right here, right? You can't just give them a stack of papers. You can't just, you know, go see them and talk to them. How do you manage that without being able to see them? And how do you gain that trust?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I mentioned that I'm not a great manager, right? Part of that is because there's a little piece of me that's still a people pleaser. So I find that like, for example, in one of my last businesses that I no longer run, because again, I'm not a great manager. I realized this, and we got out of this business. In one of my last businesses, I did not do any of the hiring. I had an operations manager who did the hiring, because I'm the kind of person that I will find something to like about everybody. So everybody that walked in the door, if they had even the remotest qualifications that matched what we needed, I'm like, oh, I like this person. They have a great story. They're this and they're that. And I would hire them, and it would be a bad decision because I'm still a little bit of a people pleaser. So it's actually better for me not to be able to see them, because I can approach it from a more business-like, transactional type of aspect. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do it. If you have problems, email me, text me, you know, Slack me, whatever. So it works a lot better for me that way. But it does have its challenges. You're right. I can't just hand them a stack of paper. Absolutely everything has to be digital. Everything has to be laid out. It took me probably a little under 2 years from the beginning of formulating the processes that became what we now use to the system that we now have. It's taken me about 2 years to refine the software that we use and the systems that we have in place to make it as smooth running as it is now. And it's still changing all the time.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I mean, that's like the Tim Ferriss. Where did you get that idea from? Was it like a Tim Ferriss thing, the 4-hour work week, or what was it?
It was a combination of things. You know how sometimes there's an idea that you hear one time and it's just crazy, and then the next time it starts to make sense, and the time after that it's like, yeah, that's a no-brainer. So I don't remember exactly where I got it from. It might have been when we hired a business systems coach for one of our private equity funds a couple years ago. But it's just, now it's a no-brainer. I mean, you have Upwork, you have Freelancer, like there's no reason not to use VAs at this point.
Cool. All right. So we talked about all your books that you're reading. What's your favorite book that you're into right now?
Oh, I read the most amazing book last night, just out of the blue. It's not a very well-known book. It's called Copywriting for Podcasters. And John Lee Dumas and several heavy-hitting podcasters give their insights in this book as well about how to do great show notes and how to get noticed on different social media platforms to drive traffic to your podcast, how to get high profile guests, like very in-depth, very, very good book. I read so many books on the same topic that after a while it starts to repeat itself. And I can go through, like yesterday, I went through 6 books. I mean, we're talking like full length books, but I already have so many notes on podcasting that I only had to pick very specific nuggets out of them. This one specifically, I spent probably 3 hours on just this one particular book because it was so full of good information I hadn't heard before. So copywriting for podcasters, very, very good.
Cool. And who writes that one? Do you know?
I'm sorry. Okay. I can find out for you.
No, everybody can look it up. That's no big deal. Yeah. All right. So last question is, what is your definition to the secret of financial freedom?
Secret of financial freedom. Oh my.
For you.
As in the secret to getting it or the secret to defining it?
Yeah, defining it.
Oh, defining it. Okay. I have this on my mirror, actually, my manifesto about what freedom feels like to me. And I wrote this before my jobless day, which I celebrate every year. And I put it up on my mirror because I said, this is how I want to feel when I'm free. And I don't have it memorized, but it's basically freedom is being able to wake up in the morning and lay in bed and look at the ceiling and realize that there's absolutely nobody who has power over your time that day except you. You don't have to jump out of bed and rush to go to work. You don't have to worry about what's coming down the pike from your company, or you don't have to worry about getting fired because you have this single stream of income, which is job insecurity, as we all know. It's being able to take a deep breath and realize that you own not only that moment, but all your moments for the entire day. It's being able to fail and being able to laugh at yourself and not feel like someone else is judging you. Someone at your job is judging you, or making a check mark next to your name. This is the next person that's going to get fired because they made a mistake. You can experiment. You can have trial and error again. Like when you were a kid, you can try things for the sake of trying them, just for the sake of moving forward. That's what freedom means to me, having choices.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, let's wrap up by talking about, you know, how people can get a hold of you, and then how can they connect, you got your podcast and all that. So why don't you talk to us about a little bit of that stuff?
So the easiest way to get hold of everything I do is to go to my website, alisonkirschbaum.com. If you want more information on what I do for real estate thought leaders, how I turn thought leaders into industry experts and get that expertise out to the world, or for what I do for private equity marketing, you can go to luomediagroup.com. And both of those names, Alison Kirschbaum Media and Luo Media Group, are all over Facebook, Twitter. You can find me pretty much anywhere.
Okay, cool. And then, so how do they, you said for your podcast, where do they go? Which one do they go?
All of my podcasts. I have several, actually. The easiest way to find them is at alisonkirschbaum.com. We have a sidebar that lists all of our podcast brands on different topics. We have a real estate podcast. We have a self-storage podcast. We have a, I like to call it a rant podcast. It's basically me stream of consciousness talking into a podcast about the way I see business going and why millennials are so irritating and just different things like that. So there's more useful podcasts and there's less useful podcasts, but they're all on my website.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Alison, I appreciate the time that you spent with us and your valuable insights.
Thank you. This has been great. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, it's always fun talking to people, you know, business people, and especially fun to me to talk to people that are, you know, 10 years or actually 11 years younger than me, that are, you know, just really into it and they get it. And it's just fun to see that a 25-year-old understands so much already. It's exciting. So I love
it. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. So have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Todd. You too.
Hey, special thanks to Allison Kirschbaum for coming on the show, and I appreciate her valuable insight and just, you know, really awesome interview for me. Seeing a 25-year-old, make me look or sound old, but seeing a 25-year-old just having that mindset, and that's just really cool at that age to already have such a strong mindset and understand honestly what it takes. So a few things that I took from Allison are, you know, she talked about don't worry about what you want. Don't be thinking about what you want. Think and worry about what the market wants. And if you can do that, you're setting yourself up for success. And I think that's extremely, extremely valuable insight from her. Second thing is she talked about taking massive action, and others have mentioned massive action, but she took it to a whole nother level. Talked about working 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, which obviously is not possible, but she just, her point was that you need to be, if you have a specific goal, if you have a lofty, you know, goal and certain things that you want to accomplish, you need to be aggressive with that. And you need to take massive, truly massive action, and not just, we're going to work 8 hours a day and we're going to just relax after that. No, you need to be taking massive action. You need to be getting your systems in place. You need to be hiring the right people. You need to be putting things in place in order for that to work. And then you need to be putting the time and the effort in as well. So the last thing that I took from her that I'd like is she talked about, you know, every day she writes her goals twice a day, and she visualizes those goals, does that for 4 minutes, and then she meditates on that. And I think that's really powerful, making sure you understand what exactly you want. Your goals change all the time. So you might be writing different goals sometimes, but writing your goals and making sure you understand exactly what you want and where you're going is extremely important as well. So reach out to Allison, go to AllisonKirschbaum.com, and that's going to be in the show notes so you can spell it right, or to LuoMediaGroup.com, and again, that's in the show notes so you can spell it right, and check out what she's got going on. If you've enjoyed our episodes, I'd love to have you subscribe to our show as well. So you can go on to iTunes or wherever you're listening and subscribe, and then give us a 5-star rating review. It would be fantastic. Go on to iTunes and do the review for us and give us, you know, like I said, 5-star rating review. That would be fantastic. We are also on YouTube. If you want to watch our videos, you can check us out on YouTube. And then don't forget to share our show out with your network, with your friends, with your family, with others that you know. That would be fantastic. I'm Todd Dexter. I'm signing off. Make every day Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with HomeInvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.